That was a cinematic orchestra and a piece called Burnout. You are listening to Camden Unlocked on Open Air, brought to you by Camden Community Radio. And we are Wayne Bucard, Josette, who's not in the building at the moment.
And Peter Tash, and Layla's just walked into the studio.
Okay, our guests today are 11 Knights, who will be performing live for us in the studio, a brief visit from reggae artist Jabani and Friends, and co-writer for Alicia Keys, singer-songwriter Erica Rose, in a revealing interview later on. But first...
Is that my cue?
That is your cue.
On Sunday, the 1st of June, three members of our team, Les, Josette and Martina, were at the Camden Green Fair and Bike Fest, which was coinciding with the World Environment Day in Regent's Park. And they were promoting issues concerning the environment, and this is what went on.
So on Sunday, I was at the Green Fair in Regent's Park, where I met different actors of London Green, of people who are trying to keep our town, our city green. And right now, I am meeting with Sean Berry, who was a mayoral candidate, and who is just enjoying herself today, and she's going to talk to us about London Green, what this event represents to her, and a lot of things, and other things. Sean, good afternoon, because today is Sunday.
Good afternoon, hello. Nice to meet you.
Alors, sorry to disturb you, you are enjoying yourself, it's a beautiful day. Okay, a little bit grey.
It's grey, but not raining. Yeah.
Well, no raining, and there are huge turnout. You told me earlier that you've been coming in those type of events for the last 5 years. Have you seen the scene changing?
Well, the first time I was organising the Green Party stall at this event, it was a little tiny garden by Euston Station, and was a very, very small event. And now it's enormous. It's grown absolutely every year since then. We've moved into Regent's Park. There's now, I think, 10, 15,000 people here already. It's enormous. There's an awful lot of things to do, and it just gets better and better every year. You can find out about energy saving. You can pick up loads of free eco gifts, like eco bags and things like that, and light bulbs and all sorts of things to help you be more green and more energy efficient. And there's also lots of plants and lots of natural things to look at, and lots of fair trade, eco, recycled goods to buy as well. So it's something for everyone. It's good fun.
Do you think that this is mean that Londoners are getting greener, or they are just coming to enjoy the day?
There's a bit of both, I think. People are enjoying the day, but people are also coming to, find out about greener stuff and buy greener things, do a bit of greener shopping, eat some greener food, try out the vegetarian options, the organic beers. So, yeah, it's a bit of both. It's a bit of education, a bit of shopping, and a bit of just enjoying the music and the park.
And do you see more inscription?
Well, we always come here to recruit, because we know people who are concerned about green stuff might be more inclined to join the party and help us out with future campaigns or vote for us in elections, although obviously all the elections have just happened in London, so we haven't got any more for a while. But yeah, we're recruiting members, trying to get people to work with the party and help us out, along with a lot of other campaigning organisations. I mean, you'll see Friends of the Earth, Amnesty International, the Orangutan Campaign, the World Naked Bike Ride. They're all here trying to recruit people to their organisations.
Thank you very much, Sean Berry.
Thank you.
I am now with Councillor Paul Braithwaite, who is manning the London cycling campaign here in Regent's Park. Mr. Braithwaite, can you tell me, I know bicycles are green, but can you tell me, are they safe?
Yes, I cycle around North London and into the town hall every day. Yes, I think it's probably safer than walking, and it's certainly a lot better for you than sitting in a car.
don't you think, because there have been several people being killed by buses, and you know this new law who is going to allow bicycle to ride on bus lane, don't you think, what can you say about that?
Well, what you're referring to is Boris in the election talked about allowing motor bicycles to go in bus lanes. That is not yet fixed. It has been an experiment on the Finchley Road for the last 3 or 4 years, and in that particular case there have not yet been accidents. I myself am not in favour of motorbikes in bus lanes. I think having a bendy bus following you,
lot of enthusiasm there.
Having a bendy bus following you is enough intimidation without having a 750 Kawasaki driving behind you. Oh, there's the mayor. I think you're right that we need a lot more cycling infrastructure for people to feel safe. In fact, I'm going to do a speech in half an hour in the tent on how to get people more onto bicycles.
And more safe on bicycles.
Yeah, well, over here you'll see Camden have got a stall to encourage adults to learn to ride bicycles properly. And I'm often asked about why do so many cyclists ride on the pavement, and the central problem is that they're scared to ride on the road.
Yes, it's true. I've got a bicycle and I'm scared to ride on the roads. Mm-hmm. It's true.
Well, confidence comes with doing it.
With practice. Thank you, Mr. Braithwaite. I am now with Quentin Given, who is one of the organizers of the Green Fest. Quentin, how long have you been involved with this organization?
About 15 or 16 years, I think.
Oh.
Well, when I got involved, I was working for the council, and the fair was run by community groups, local environmentalists, back in the early 90s. And over time, it sort of dwindled. It got quite small. And then really, I think in 99, we decided to, you know, put some more effort into it and try and build it up again. And over the years, it's we used a small park near Euston Station, and gradually it got too big to have in that park. And then we had a real breakthrough when we got Regent's Park, the Royal Parks, to agree to have it here. And this is just such a wonderful place to have something like this, and it's just got better and better every year. So I'm not really so involved in organising it now, which is a great relief. So I just come along and help as a steward, but it's lovely to see it doing so well.
Voilà. Was it difficult to have all those organisations participating in this fest?
Well, a few years back, it was difficult to persuade people to come because they're thinking, well, it's a long way to go, and will there be many people? Will we sell enough things, you know, for the stalls and things? But once it took off, then people just want to be here. You know, stalls really want to come.
Do you think it's because of global warming they are very scared now?
Well, I think awareness has definitely increased in the last few years. Yes, that's definitely a factor as well. It makes the public want to come along. And there's a lot more groups now doing things about climate change and helping people make their homes more energy efficient. So there's a lot more people who are, you know, wanting events.
We
like
all
this.
Want to learn how
that's
to
right,
be greener.
Right. Yeah.
Thank you, Quentin.
Thank you.
Can I ask you, what's your name, please?
My name is Irene. Mm-hmm.
And you work at the Camden Council?
Yes, I work for Camden Council, mm-hmm. for the public safety team.
Mm-hmm. And what are you providing here for people today?
Today we have everything about cycling. So we have free cycle training for people who are lacking of confidence to get on a bike, or people who are experienced cyclists who might benefit from some professional on-road training. Also for complete beginners who never learned, and now there is the chance.
I see a lot of kids' toys and books and so on. So kids are your main audience today?
I think everyone, to be honest. Well, we have kids, we have adults, we have elderly, we have everything. But with kids, it's nice because the parents, I think, at the moment are really into introducing probably their children to the cycling world more. And we have great books, we have reflectors, nice, you know, everything to make your cycling more safe.
And do you think the demand has increased?
I definitely think, yes. I'm a cyclist for 5 years, and through the years I can see that there's an increase in the cycling world. Definitely.
Okay, thank you very much.
Well, this is Camden Community Radio, ccradio.org.
This is Camden Community Radio, ccradio.org.
Hello, this is Wayne Bucard of Camden Community Radio, www.ccradio.org. Tune in and be changed for life.
Greetings, this is Peter Tosh at Camden Community Radio. Okay, this is ccradio.org.
Right, time for some music, and it's our regular Folk in the Cellar slot, introduced to you by Les Coughlan.
Hi, it's Les Coughlan at Camden Community Radio, in Camden Town, down the cellar in the Constitution. It's a great old spot, and we'll start off with a bit of music by Emma Scar.
I was thinking about you today, 'cause I was over Angel Way. It was 16 years yesterday that I fell in love with you. You looked like a film star, and I was something new. I was young and innocent, not ready yet for you. There's passion, whiskey and badness. For others we didn't care. Sessions, drugs and madness. A selfish but beautiful pair. In Minogue's we met. In the Hare and Hounds we flirted. And via the Hope and Anchor, it was in the Cock we parted. I was thinking about you today, 'cause I was over Angel Way. It was 16 years yesterday that I fell in love with you. But I was never faithful, and you were never sober. When you preferred the pop to me, I knew that it was over. And at the end you got all our friends and the places we held dear. I got a hard-learned lesson and a fondness for the beer. In Minogue's we met, in the Hare and Hounds we flirted, and via the Hope and Anchor, it was in the Cock we parted. I was thinking about you today, 'cause I was over Angel Way. It was 16 years yesterday that I fell in love with you.
That was great, Emma. That was a great bit of music there by Emma Scar. And now we have Hillbilly in the Bonfire.
I don't need to hold your hand in mine, to know and feel your touch. I don't need to hold your hand in mine, to let you know how much. No, I do.
just tell you what you already knew, what you were hoping wasn't true. I don't have to say, you know I do.
Both those songs were recorded at the Constitution Pub in St. Pancras Way in Camden. For more details, log on to myspace.com/folkinthecellar. Okay, time for some chat and some live music. Tosh has been out scouting and he found a very interesting group to introduce today. Who are they, Wayne?
Okay, they're called 11 Nights. He was at the O Bar in Camden High Street and saw them. They really caught his eye. But the attention went to the lead singer. When she hit such a high note, he wanted to know more about the band. I'll let the band introduce themselves. You are?
My name is Victor Nielsen and I play lead guitar in 11 Nights.
I'm Maggie. I play rhythm guitar in 11 Nights.
And?
My name is Ida and I'm the singer.
All right. Nice to meet you both. Oh. Both? Yeah? Cool. So how did the band get together?
Me and Ida went to the same school, but we didn't know each other. I kind of knew my friend, a classmate, dated her,
yeah.
And I knew her that way, but we kind of never spoke.
Okay.
I don't know. Then we just randomly met on a club.
Mm-hmm.
Then, yeah, I saw the ad on internet and...
I like joined the band through a website where you can advertise for like look for musicians and find musicians, mm-hmm, and that's basically how I
put up an ad and then he saw my ad. And
Okay.
And then we played two or three times.
Yeah, we started out and then he saw my ad.
Yeah.
And then
actually she was gonna try out for my old
band.
But we were like, I was like, no, I don't think so. We don't want a girl who's singing. So and then I saw the ad.
So he was gonna push her for your old band, yeah?
Then okay. I saw the ad a year later and I was like, yeah, I'll give it a shot.
Cool.
Yeah.
So it was meant to be then, wasn't it?
Yeah. It feels like it.
Okay, this is for Ida. Yeah, if I pronounced that right.
No, it's Ida.
Ida. Sorry, Ida. Where and how did you develop that amazing vocal range? This high voice that I keep hearing about.
Well,
where did it come from?
I mean, you have the voice that you have. You can't like make it higher or lower.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're born with it.
Yeah.
But I started singing when I was 16 because I was not really into singing before that. When I was young, I was more a handball. I was a sport girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to high school and I was studying singing.
Okay.
For 3 years, mm-hmm, and then I studied 2 years afterwards in college, singing, Afro-American singing.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Excellent. Thanks very much for that. So how did you get the name 11 Nights? Where does that come from? Where did it originally come from, 11 Nights? Because I actually thought it was Nights, as in jousting.
Oh, yeah. We get that a lot.
Yeah. We're really into the medieval. No, really. Totally not.
No. Yeah. Just getting a bit of really bad.
Yeah, I know, it's laughing.
Okay, sorry. Okay, we can't laugh that much.
Bring the gain down.
Yeah.
So just start from the top again, or?
No, it's just...
Continue.
Just be careful of the...
Okay.
How close you are to the mic. In fact, you could bring them higher if you wanted.
Cool.
Just a touch. Yeah.
Okay.
You should be a little bit closer to the microphone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. All right.
Just watch the gain because that's what's making it. It's
feedback.
Okay.
Yeah. How did you get the name 11 Knights? Because initially I thought it was like, as I said before, knights as in the jousting knights, but it's not. It's actually night as in night and day.
Day and night.
Yeah. I have to say that like 10,000 times during the gig. I was like day, night,
yeah,
day,
yeah,
night. Yeah. Actually, we have a song called "Train to San Diego,"
mm-hmm,
and like we met like before. We found out the name. We went to my place and drank.
For 11 nights, yeah?
Yeah, and then we were like looking through all the songs for a good name. Mm-hmm. And then we found that one. It was 11 at night.
Okay.
Because I'm singing, it's 11 at night and okay. I'm a train. So but then we were like, 11 at night, it doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
So then we were like, 11 nights.
Okay. Like shortening it down, making it easy to pronounce instead of...
So not major significance, just sounds good.
No, it's like, okay, that's cool. If you hear the name, it could be like a really big story behind the name.
Yeah. It's a really cool name, I like it.
Thank you.
Like it. Cool. Okay, so what? I'll just go around. What music has influenced you?
Man, I listen to... I'm feeling really boring that I'm saying that I listen to all kind of music, but I listen to all kind of music. Mm-hmm. And like, what I bring to the band would be like, old 80s rock and roll, like mm-hmm. that kind of stuff, and before like 70s too, like Zeppelin mm-hmm. and stuff like that, like a mixture of mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. like combined. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, your solos are totally totally 80s sound is really great.
And what about you? How do you pronounce him again, sorry?
Magnus or Magnus in Sweden.
Magnus.
Swedish. Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
but
yeah,
go with Maggie. Maggie is all right. I'm fine.
Yeah, so what kind of music has influenced you?
The same, actually. Yeah. Same as Victor.
Okay. Excellent. Yeah. And
I'm kind of different. Yeah, I'm more towards like new pop rock, mm-hmm. American bands.
Okay.
I like Lifehouse a lot.
Who, sorry?
Lifehouse.
Lifehouse.
Yeah, it's
I'm heard of them. American.
It's an American band. And so I bring a lot of pop into the sound, kind of, because I heard I have a really popish voice.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Very much. I can see why the guys were drawn.
Yeah.
To, thanks very much for that. So why choose London, particularly Camden, to perform?
Well, London is, like, compared to Stockholm, mm-hmm. opportunities, like, to play gigs and mm-hmm. Getting people to come to gigs, people see you, like, from the business and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot more opportunities here in London mm-hmm. than in Sweden. Yeah. And we had a friend named David who lived in Camden, and he set us up with an apartment in Camden. So on that route, we ended up in Camden. And
Like, we gig, like, everywhere in London, but mm-hmm. not just in Camden, but...
Okay. So are you signed?
Not yet.
No.
Not yet?
Signed, no.
No.
Really?
No.
Do you have management?
No.
No. We just came here. And
so you're basically self-sufficient then?
Yeah. We came here like 3 months ago. Yeah. So.
Okay.
We've been a band since November.
Yeah.
So what's the music scene like in... what did you say? Stockholm?
Yeah.
What's the music scene like there?
It's gigging once every month. No more gigs.
Yeah.
And then that is like... Well, you get paid when you play in Stockholm.
Yeah, but like...
Is that true?
Yeah, every gig.
Yeah. Well, we play quite a lot before. Yeah.
That line alone, there'd be a mass exodus to Stockholm.
Oh, yeah. Everybody wants...
Musicians.
Yeah.
Because it's very hard to get paid.
It's hard. Yeah. It's harder in Sweden, though, because like...
Like, they won't let you play unless they know that you can play.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you need to be saying something.
Yeah, there's no open mic nights.
No, there's no open mic nights at all.
That's one big difference. There's no open mic nights.
But at least you get paid.
Yeah.
That's very good.
That's really
good. But also, like, our music is not really popular in Sweden right now. So that's why we kind of went away.
Okay.
We sound kind of different from all the bands here in London, because they all play indie, Britpop, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we kind of stick out with something, but that everybody can like, because pop rock, it's really... wide, like the audience
it's
listens
easy
to
for
it.
Ears
yeah.
To listen
okay.
To.
We're thinking to go to the States also.
Yeah.
Excellent.
3 months.
So you guys are serious. I mean.
Oh
yeah.
Oh yeah.
And you've got youth on your side as well, which is.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's nothing else to do.
Excellent.
Like, that's it.
That's
okay.
The plan.
Yeah.
So your MySpace is myspace.com/11nights. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Any other websites? It's just that. It's just that at the moment.
No, that's
11 with the
digits.
Number 11.
Yeah.
Nights.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not with a K.
No.
Okay. All right. Okay. We're gonna. Another reason why you're here is we would love for you to perform live for us. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's totally okay.
Man. Cool.
Because one of the mics was actually not on.
Okay, no, there no worries.
That sounded nice. Very nice. I was going to say that, man.
Sorry. Yeah. Okay. We can start whenever you want to.
Thanks very much for that. Tosh, you've been a busy chappy. You have another guest in the studio for us. Who is this young man?
Well, today in the studio, live and direct, I have the legendary Jah Bunny and Dave Barker.
Steve Harris from Freetown.
Yeah, okay. But before we get into the interview, let's hear a track from him. Okay, right, and that was Bells Will Be Ringing by Freetime and Jah Bunny, and they're here yesterday, and so greetings in the name, Jah Bunny, bless it.
Greetings, Brad Tosh, nice for inviting us here today, blessing.
Yes, hi. Okay, right now, before we get into anything, can you give some listeners some details about you guys, you know, like web spaces and all that?
Well, Steve, go on through, Steve.
All right, my name's Steve. I'm the lead singer with Freetown. Jah Bunny's the drummer. We've been together about 12 years or so. Our website, if you'd like to find out more about us, is www.freetown-ska.co.uk. And we've got a MySpace, which is myspace.com/freetownska.
Okay, thank you for that. Okay, and right, what about the live dates coming up? Anything?
Well, we're playing a big show at the end of this month, Saturday the 28th of June, at the Hackney Empire. And there's ourselves, Freetown, the Jewelers, our support band, and Freetown are also backing Dave Barker, who's one of the greatest singers that we've worked with in our careers.
Okay, and can we just hear a little bit from you, Dave? Anything?
Yeah, man. Shucks almighty, I'm here.
They don't say much. Super cool. They don't say much. I will. All right, and right. So you have an album out, right? You like to plug your album?
Yeah, it's called Easy Street. How long it make now, Steve?
Yeah, our album's called Easy Street, and it's available on iTunes.
Okay. All right, and can you play the commercial, please?
Saturday, 28th of June, Scar comes to the Hackney Empire, 291 Mayor Street, Hackney. Live on stage featuring Dave Barker, singer of Dave and Ansel Collins, with live band Freetown. We'll be backing Dave on all his soul-tastic hits, Double Barrel, Monkey Spanner, and many more, and playing a set in tribute to the music of Laurel Aitken, as well as tracks from their latest album. Support by the Jewelers and Popes of Chilitown. Admission, £15. Concessions, £13, £12 for friends. Box office, 0208 985 2424. Doors, 7:30. Showtime, 8 o'clock. DJ on the night, Gladiwax. Sponsored by Millennium Supreme, 99.8 FM.
I'm the Magnificent, and I'm back with the Shaker of Song Balls with the most thundering, stormy sounds of soul. I am W-O-O-O-O, and I'm sitting here again, rocking, socking, and bone jocking.
All right, Dave, can you just explain that track and what it was all about?
Yeah, Double Barrel, man. I did that track for a guy in Jamaica called Winston Riley. Ansel Collins was the keyboard player I mean, he originally made the rhythm, you know, and I put my voice on it. You know, I am the Magnificent. I'm back from the Shackle of Soul Boss, the most stunning songs I sell, you know, and, you know, it became number one here in England in 71, to which we all came here from Kingston, Jamaica, and we toured England through, man, for 8-9 months straight.
Yeah.
You know, and give thanks and praises. Now I am with Freetown, and we're going to rock the night.
Sure.
You know, on the 28th of this month, man, give thanks and praises.
What about Hackney Empire?
Empire.
Hackney Empire is a beautiful, beautiful venue. It's a Victorian music hall. It's been restored, refurbished. It's in great condition and it looks wonderful. It's a great place, so hope people can come. We're playing, as I said, with Popes of Chilitown supporting the Jewelers, who are a great live band. Ourselves, we play a whole range of ska, reggae, rocksteady music.
And a tribute set.
We're playing a tribute set to the late, great Laurel Aitken.
Laurel Aitken, for sure.
Yeah, we used to back Laurel Aitken in the 90s, and we're going to play some of his tunes. And then the highlight of the show will be our set, a full set with Dave Barker on lead vocals.
Shucks almighty.
Including Double Barrel.
For real.
Yeah, Cameron, show some love, man. Come down, support the cars, man.
Okay, I've been doing a little bit of scouting myself, but on the celebrity side, in the shape of singer-songwriter Erica Rose. She, the co-writer for Alicia Keys, co-writing the hit single A Woman's Worth, as well as co-writing on Alicia Keys' first and second album. She was here promoting her first solo album, which is called Rose Garden, also with a gig at Camden's Jazz Cafe last month. First, we'll listen to a track from the album, and the track is called Darkness.
On the ceiling of an empty room, crying, screaming like a tortured soul. I left my body on a midnight train. Soldier with no fear to get back home. Unbelievable, the madness that I'm putting myself through. Uncontrollable, the mental masquerade I got into.
I feel like I'm drowning. Won't somebody help me? The devil's a liar. Like a loser, anxiety plagues me. The devil's a liar, he's coming for me.
I self-induce my misery when I lose the life that keeps me sane. I'm addicted to the cycle of destruction haunting me inside my brain.
Unbelievable, the madness that I'm putting myself through.
Controllable momentum, that's the weight I got into.
I feel like I'm drowning. Won't somebody help me? The devil's a liar, he's coming for me. I feel like a loser, anxiety plagues me. The devil's a liar, he's coming for me.
What a fall.
The devil's a liar, he's coming for me. He's coming for me. He's coming for me. The devil's a liar, he's coming for me.
Never felt like I belong nowhere, searching for a place to call my own. While my body's on that midnight train,
blooming flowers turn to stone.
In what capacity was you here the last time?
Last time I was here was back in February, and my very, very dear friend, Miss Alicia Keys, was performing at O2, so I came out to support her for that gig. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. So what was the initial inspiration to your songwriting skills, just generally? But because your lyrics are quite like amazing, you know? So what was your initial inspiration for your songwriting skills?
My just life, what I see, what I experience, you know, it's very, very personal. It's very much like my diary, you know? Right. Excellent.
Thanks for that. And you started at Alvin Ailey, is that right?
Yes, I did when I was like 9 years old.
Okay. So was being there essentially the making of you? One of the many aspects of making of you?
Absolutely. It was a complete, you know, honor to be a part of that whole regime. And I was there before he passed as well. So, you know, it was something to behold, to be a part of that culture. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, right. Right. Can you remember your very first demo and the quality of that demo?
I remember it. It hurts my ears to play. And I think it's only on cassette tape. Exactly. Okay. Yes.
All right. Okay. So what music were your parents listening to? Because it's always one of the many sparks for many musicians, you know.
My father was listening. My father's Jamaican, so we had a lot of roots rock reggae in the house, and we had, you know, Led Zeppelin and Jimi Hendrix and Blood, Sweat, and Tears. He was very, you know, Woodstock 70s. My mom was playing more folk music like Joni Mitchell and James Taylor and Carly Simon. So that's really what I grew up on. I grew up more on rock folk music. But, you know, of course, you know, everyone listens to Stevie and Marvin and, you know, exactly.
Suspects, yeah.
Exactly. Okay. But I grew up more on 70s rock and folk. Mm-hmm.
So that molded you quite well, didn't it?
Very much so. Yeah.
Excellent. Right. Okay. Well, so what kept you going in your pursuit of music then?
You know, I went to college. I wasn't really, my parents didn't want me to do this. They were very scared for it. So I went to college for economics.
Yep.
And I was very depressed. And I, you know, I was in a little, in an a cappella singing group. And, and that was the only thing that gave me joy.
Yep.
And that's when I realized, oh, I'm not joyful unless I have this in my life. So I left that school. I auditioned for another school, a music school. And I got in and I got a scholarship. And I think when I got the scholarship, that's when my parents realized that I've got a gift.
Yeah.
And then they supported me. So, yeah.
That's good. Right. Okay. So, were there negative forces reluctant in nurturing you?
It was just the fact that, like I said, you know, I wasn't really encouraged to pursue this by my father mostly. I think it was more from a place of fear.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Of, he didn't like what he knew about the business. His brother's a musician, and he knew how hard it was for him, and he didn't want me to struggle.
Okay.
So that was really more what I dealt with negativity-wise.
So it was more of a... he was kind of, it was looking out for you, but in a...
looking out for me.
In an indirect way.
Yeah, exactly.
So initially, that had kind of a negative effect on you.
Absolutely, because, you know, like, for example, I started playing piano when I was about 3 years old, and I played up until 9, and, you know, I didn't like my new teacher at 9 years old. So I said, I want to quit. And they said, okay. Where as a kid, you know, kids always want to do that. Whereas I felt like, you know, had they really seen something, they would have pushed it more. You know, in school again, you know, I, you know, didn't do my first play till like my senior year, and my teachers are going, where have you been? You know, so it they didn't see that it was there, so they didn't really encourage me. So I got a late start, basically, because of it. You know what I mean? I didn't really start doing my demos till 16, 17. You know, where a lot of kids, I mean, you know, Alicia, you know, she was doing it when we were kids, you know, at 9 years old, and I was always the one in this, you know, sort of in the background like, I wish that was me, you know?
Okay. Cool, thanks for that. Right, so how much did Alicia and her team, I would say, play a part in nurturing your creativity?
Absolutely, a big part, you know. She, the second, you know, I came clean, sort of, that this was always my, you know, my aspiration, she was immediately like, well, come to the studio, let's get together. And her and her partner, Crucial, really, really, really nurtured me. They really helped develop me. They created a really safe environment. And we started writing songs, and they started producing songs for me.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic. It was wonderful.
Okay, just explain your initial role with Alicia before that period.
Okay. Well, my initial role with her is just you know, friend and, yep. and you know, family.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then we started, you know, we met when we were 4 years old.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We grew up like family.
Yeah.
And then at around 16, 17 is when we started to create together. She was working on her project.
Okay.
And they brought me in as one of their artists.
That's a long time, though, to be... To, you've known her for quite a while. I mean, four... Did you say 4 years old?
Yes, 4 years time. Old. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, she was working on her album, okay. and they started working on my project. They were going to release me as one of their artists.
Okay.
And then, you know, in that period is when I co-wrote A Woman's Worth with her, okay, but it didn't come out till years later, right? Once she came out and her album was released, she had asked me to come on the road with her for a few weeks, just to be a few weeks as her assistant.
Yeah.
And I thought that would be great fun because they were supposed to be releasing me as an artist.
Okay.
And the road manager ended up leaving and they asked me to take on that position.
Okay.
So I did, and that was 2 years.
Right.
And then after that, her manager asked me to come on and be her day-to-day manager. So that was another 2 years.
Wow.
So, you know, 4 years later, three weeks turned into 4 years.
Yeah.
And I was very heavy into the business side of managing her career.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Excellent. So how were you able to write? Because on the surface, it seemed like pretty frustrating at times during that period.
Yes, it was very frustrating. I mean, the only time I got to write was in between the two tours.
Yeah.
I got to write some of my own songs. I wrote I Cannot Save You during that period.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote on her next album. And that was really all I got to do.
Yeah.
It was not a very creative time.
No.
Okay.
Okay, you can plead the fifth on this if you want. Yeah? Okay. If you like. But do you believe in a higher being than yourself?
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the answer I was expecting. Okay, because the reason why I asked is because, like, you know the song I Cannot Save You? Recorded in Lenny Kravitz's studio, I might add. Is that right? Yeah. Have you found leaving, like, bigger issues to God?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like all of my gifts are from above.
Yeah.
And I feel like my purpose to be here is to be closer to, you know, whatever you want to call it, God, the source, whatever. And in that, you know, epitomizing and being love and being light and, you know, we all have our days, we all do our things, but you strive for that, you know.
Yeah. Because I get that feeling that there is something a lot more to you than just, you know, your music and what have you. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yes, 100%. And I think I get that from a lot of people. I think that they feel that energy.
Definitely. Thank you very much for that. The song Darkness, how autobiographical was it, right? Was a recording a cathartic one?
It's very autobiographical. It's, you know, I've gone through those periods of time, great depressions and moments of extreme darkness, and I feel like there's darkness, dark energy in the world, and there's light energy in the world, and we're constantly battling both. And so, you know, the recording of it was very cathartic. You know, there wasn't this positive message in the song. There wasn't, like, at the end I was better. No, you know, because when you're in that, it doesn't, you don't get better. You're just there.
So that was about the moment, basically.
Just about that moment. And but in recording it and you know, the devil's a liar.
Yeah.
That one line is really what sort of always helps me get past it. That is my moment of going, this is an illusion, you know.
Yeah. Okay, what was the process like recording Rose Garden? Because it looked like you was having a pretty good time, you know, generally, you know, bouncing around in Lenny Kravitz's studio, you know. So what was that like?
It was amazing. You know, it happened over a year. You know, so you were getting time here and there at different studios, but you know, working in Lenny's studio is just amazing, which I just found out the other day that it's no longer exists anymore. So I was really upset about
that's
very upsetting, but I also feel so blessed to know that I was one of the last people to create some work in there.
Yeah.
It was great fun, you know. It was really mostly Omas and myself the whole time. And you know, we didn't have a formula. It was just free. You know, we just went in and created whatever we want. We would be on our way to the studio and say, so what do you want to do today?
Yeah,
you know, I had an idea of where I wanted to go musically, which was basically just, I wanted to find a way to draw all of the genres of music that I grew up listening to together and try and make it into something synergistic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's a very eclectic album, as you can see. It comes across. There's
definitely
a lot of different styles of music in there.
It's very organic as well.
It is. And that's what it was. The whole process was just super organic.
It's a pity it's closed down, but there you go.
Yeah.
You know? Okay. So are you happy with the position that you're in with regards to making music and being involved in the industry?
Definitely. You know, I'm an independent artist, mm-hmm. so that leaves me a lot of freedom to just sort of dictate the way yeah. I do things, you know, and yeah. I think it's a great place to be, especially at this time in music yeah. and the climate of the industry.
Yeah. Okay.
I realize, you know, because, you know, I think that this music is, it's very different, but I think maybe it's a bit ahead of its time, yeah. and so some yeah. people don't get it
yeah.
yet,
yeah.
but I think
yeah.
they will eventually.
Oh, definitely, yeah. definitely, yeah. definitely.
But I mean, you know, I chose this route for a reason, you know, because I've been very close to the label situation, yeah. the environment, and I see mm-hmm. how they try to manipulate and yeah. make you into what they want you
yeah.
to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's not why I'm in this. I'm yes. not in this to be on MTV.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
if it
yeah.
happens, fantastic, yeah, fair enough, you know? Yeah, but it, this yeah. is about the music. This is about reaching people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's it, that's you know? It. So
yeah. yeah, that's great. Thanks for that. Okay, right, back to the music here. Have you ever had to compromise your sound in any way or form during the time you've been in the industry?
Yes, and after I wrote A Woman's Worth, I got a publishing deal.
Okay.
And they wanted me to write for other people.
Okay.
And I submitted my songs, and they yeah. were like, it's too esoteric,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Can you make it a little more commercial?
Yeah, yeah.
So I tried that,
yeah, yeah.
but it just didn't ring yeah, true. Yeah. And so I just said, you know what? If this means I can't write with other people, then I won't.
Yeah.
I'll just make my
yeah.
own record.
Because yeah. it's just weird, because, I mean, like, they've obviously seen skills within you,
right.
and they like those skills within you,
right.
but they want to change the skills within you. It just sounds like a complete contradiction.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, so you made the right choice anyway, as far as I'm concerned. Thanks very much for that. So at the moment, I just want to divert slightly.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, we have a lot of black artists and actors
yeah.
kind of leaving the UK, yeah, mm-hmm. for the USA
right.
Because of lack of opportunities here.
Right.
You know, what in your view is the situation in America regards, you know, opportunities for musicians and what have you
right.
and access?
Yeah. I guess it depends on the kind of artist that you are. I personally did the opposite and left the USA to come over here. When I've been yeah. over here in the past, it's always been a very open mm-hmm. sort of reception yeah. all over Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like it's maybe slightly more progressive and open to
yeah.
music here, whereas
yeah.
back home, there are a lot of great artists, but mm-hmm. a lot of what's perpetuated is super commercial
yeah.
and a real deviation from
yeah.
the real music that I know I grew
mm-hmm.
up on.
Okay.
So, but I think it's, you know, you can have a lot of success there, so I think it's fantastic, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So how badly do you want to change the world? Is that a big question to ask?
So badly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like most musicians.
I guess so. If I could only save the world, I would. Yeah. Can I? Just
yeah,
one woman?
Is
yeah.
Is that one thing that, you know, it may be a crazy question, but most musicians, they do, don't they?
I think some do.
Yeah.
I think some do try their best, and I think that if you have such a voice, it's a waste
yeah.
if you don't use it for yeah. something positive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. Right. What I'm gonna do then? What I'll quickly do is mention your MySpace.
Mm-hmm.
It's myspace.com
yeah.
/Erica Rose/Erica Rose Garden.
Yeah.
Right. And your MySpace is all the W's.
Yeah.
www.ericarose.com. Closing, yeah? Right, that's it. I want to say a big thank you to our guests, 11 Nights, Jabunny, and of course, Layla Manish, who is not on the desk, but Dunesh, is that right? Okay, Marcus and Carlos. Carlos is not here, but Marcus is here. You're both geezers. And it's goodbye from Wayne, Peter Tosh, Josette, and Layla, who's left the building, and Josette has left the building. This is Candle Unlocked on Open Air, and we're out.